You ever wonder what it's like to be homeless? Well, here's a story for you. But for those of you that might not know, I moved recently, just 2 days ago, in fact. Monday, it was a very long day for the Kirk household, but a good one all the same. I spent the morning working here with meetings and teaching and all the rest. And then in the afternoon, I spent it moving boxes and furniture from our old apartment in the old church building over to our new one in the Sky Ridge Apartments. Now, towards the end of the day, we went to pick up a couch. A nice church family was willing to donate us. Well, not donate, we paid a little bit, but not as nearly as much as it was worth, so it was very kind. But we went and we locked the doors and we went on our way. But as many times happens with a move, there is something that always seems to go unexpectedly wrong. Turns out that the apartment my wife and I have moved into was recently remodeled, which is great. It's a nice place. We have a gas stove now. I've never had one of those before. I love it. But yes. Now, the problem was is that when they renovated the apartment, they renovated the door locks, but they kept the original door keys. Turns out, when we left, we were locked out of our new apartment. Yeah, so our dog who was trapped inside wasn't too happy about it either, so yes. So as the kind gentleman from the maintenance department spent a good hour and a half trying desperately to get our door open, he did his best. Myself, my wife, and my in-laws, we hung out in a minivan with couch cushions all over the back of it with nothing to comfort us but a Giorgio's pizza. Now, that was pretty good, I'll say. But it was quite the time. But after many failed key attempts and going through two oscillating saw blades, if you know what that tool is, we finally got back into our new home where our dog was very happy. But needless to say, I was a little irritated in the moment. I was homeless for an hour, locked out of the home in the cold. Now imagine not being locked out for just an hour. Imagine having no heated minivan to go hang out in, no Giorgio's pizza, and no family. Stuck alone in the cold forever. This was Mary's fate as she saw her son being crucified. There was no hope for her at all in this picture. Due to the absence of Joseph in the Gospels after Jesus comes of age, it's pretty safe to assume that Mary's husband was dead and buried. And in those days, if a woman was left all alone, she usually would have no way to provide for herself. With her husband and her son gone, she would be left all alone. No one to provide for her, no one to care for her, no one to support her, no one to love her. Thank God for the one who did, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he was raised up there, dying, he saw two people he loved, his mother and John. Crucifixion, it's more suffocation than anything else. You have to force yourself to stand on feet that are nailed to the cross itself. And you have to stand and fight for every single breath. So while fighting for air, and with the full weight of humanity bearing down on his shoulders, he forces himself up and says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then after another great effort, he pleads with John, "Behold your mother." With these words, Jesus binds a new family together where neither one of them would be left all alone. And John, he saw that word fulfilled. The text goes on to say that from that very hour, from that time on, he took Mary into his own home where she would be provided for all the days of her life. From the words spoken from the cross, they were made a family. They were formed into the family of God, which in turn unites all of us, all believers together. The family of God, you and I belong to it, and it continues on even still today. For we too gather today at the foot of the cross. Today, and whenever we gather together to worship our crucified Lord. And as we gather, we are united together as a family, born of blood, not from a parent to a child, but from the blood shed on the cross, blood we receive in the Lord's Supper. Through his great effort and sacrifice, we are bound together by the Word incarnate. The words we say, what we believe about Jesus, unites us together. We think the same. We act the same. In many ways, we are the same. Jesus says so himself. I love thinking about the context around our second reading, and the drama did such a good job illustrating this. With Jesus teaching some pretty radical stuff, and Pharisees and all the rest getting a little worked up, his family wants to get him out of a different situation and get him to safety. But instead, he says and claims that those who do God's will, those who stay around him in his presence, are his true family. And that's what we're doing right here, right now. There's a lot of other things I'm sure you could be doing with your random Wednesday night. But you've chosen to follow God's will and abided at the cross of your Savior. So, I encourage you, on days when you might feel alone, days when we need love, when we need care, support, abide at the foot of the cross. What I mean by this is to abide in the presence of other believers in Christ. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. You may very well be the answer to another person's prayers. The John a Mary needs. The Mary a John needs. Christ provides us with one another for our time of need. So I encourage you today. Strive to be there for each other, helping one another in your neighbor's time of need. Amen. Please stand as we join together in our prayers.